It's Abundant Living, your guide to experiencing a more abundant life in Jesus Christ, with your host, founder of AbundantLiving.org, David Leisenfeld.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Abundant Living program. So glad you're joining us here today. I am David Leisenfeld, here to take you through this next half hour as we talk about the principles of having a more abundant life in Jesus Christ. You know, God did not just send Jesus so that we could be forgiven of sins. He sent His Son to be the Lord in our lives, so that we would know the way that produces peace, the way to joy, the way to living a good and right life. You know, because we make decisions. We have choices in life that need to be made. And how we make those choices will affect the fruit that is produced, the results, the consequences that we face in life. And so the scriptures are full of good teaching for us to help us live a more abundant life in Jesus Christ. And we've been talking about knowing Him and having faith in Him the last few weeks, and knowing the power of life in Him. Because in Him we have the power to overcome sin, the power to overcome the things that bring us down and destroy us in life. And He gives us so much good teaching in the Proverbs and in the Psalms and in the Gospels and in the writings of Paul and just throughout the whole Bible from beginning to end. There is teaching and instruction to help us live a better way of life. And so that is what we talk about here. This is our passion. You know, people have a lot of passions in life, a lot of desires, a lot of things that you want to do. And unfortunately, we're living in a society where we're becoming less and less passionate about life. There's so much stuff and so many ways to be distracted and so many ways to be entertained. We're finding that more and more people are sitting back and watching life go by on a television set, rather than engaging in the process of life, living life passionately, living life abundantly, and knowing the ways to do that. And here's the other thing that happens in a life, in a society, especially like ours here in the United States, where we are so blessed and so prosperous. There are just so many things to distract us from what life is about. You know, the video games and the parties and the entertainments and the alcohol and the drugs and whatever else there is. You know, there's so much stuff that can simply distract us. And whatever your thing is, it's out there for you. But you were made with a reason. You are important. You're specially made to be a child of God, because God wants to share His life with you. He wants to open up His life, His world to you, which is greater than anything we can see. You know, this universe is just composed of dimensions. But outside of this universe is a place where God lives, in His heaven, where His throne is. And there is such tremendous beauty, and so many great things have been prepared by God and are being prepared by Jesus Christ for us to partake in. And I want you to have that life with Him. And it begins with us coming to know Him, turning our lives to Him, and seeing the freedom that comes from knowing the truth. Because this world is kind of made up to hypnotize us in a way, so that we will sin and think that it's okay, that we will forget what life is about. And our enemy, the devil, has devised a whole world to keep us distracted from what life is really about. And I don't want you to miss out. And frankly, I don't want me to miss out on what life is really about. And so I'm here to be your friend and to be a helper to you, a helper in your joy, a helper in your life, to encourage you onto a better way. And that's what Abundant Living Ministries is all about. And if you ever miss part of this program or would like to listen to some of our audios or teachings, go to www.abundantliving.org, because there's lots of great teachings, lots of great information there for you. And I want you to have that for free. Take advantage of us. Avail us of what we have and the information we have and the encouragement we have, because I want you to be passionate. I want you to be passionate about God. I want you to be passionate about pursuing a relationship with Him and knowing Him. And be passionate then in your relationships with your spouse or with your children or with your parents or whoever it is that you have relationships with, to be passionate like God is about you. God is so passionate about you, He gave His Son for you to bear your guilt and your iniquity and my guilt and my iniquity, that all of our shame and all of our sin would be cast upon Him, that we can know the freedom of a new life. Because God does not want us living in bondage. He wants us in freedom. And as we were talking about a few weeks ago, the freedom found in the Passover lamb, the freedom found in the blood of Jesus Christ. But now, having received that freedom by faith, we must march on. And we march on and we overcome sin in ourselves. And we overcome this world, not by our own flesh, not by our own power, but by the Spirit of God within us. And that Spirit of God comes as we turn our lives over to God and to Jesus Christ. And we have faith in His sacrifice and faith in His life. And we ask that question, what would Jesus do? Because life is too easy to say, what would we do? And as much as we'd like to think that we're all so good and all so noble, the ways that we would do things and the way that God does things are not always quite the same, are they? Sacrificing your son, your innocent, your good, your righteous son, for the children who are yet enemies, who are fighting against your ways, who are doing things that lead to war and destruction and hurt and pain and sorrow, doesn't always make sense, does it? In fact, only God could come up with that. Just another proof of the Bible. No man would come up with that story. That doesn't seem to make sense to us humanly. But God with a bigger vision, God with a bigger way of living, a way of concern for others, a way of love and of generosity, was willing to give His own Son, and Jesus Himself willing to lay down His life for you. And His prize in life is that you will lay down your life for Him. What does God really want from us but to give our lives for Him, to look to Him, to realize the greatness in His ways, and to imitate Him, to be imitators of Jesus Christ? You know, when Jesus lived in the flesh, He did not sin. And what we are headed to is a way of living without sin. And sin can basically be defined as selfishness. Sin can be defined as a way of living that does not have consideration either for God or for each other. Because all sin really is against love, because love is the fulfillment of the law. And love is not feeling good about things, as we use it here in English, but love is having an outgoing concern, a benevolent concern for other people. And we have this love first for God, and second for our neighbor. And the responsibilities that we take care of in life for ourselves, such as not getting involved in things that are harmful or hurtful, these are things that we put down because we have love first for God and second for others. And if we get this straight, if we get this right in our lives, we will cease from sin. And overcoming sin is not a matter of not looking at ourselves. Overcoming sin in life is a matter of looking at the One who did already overcome all sin. In the book of 1 John chapter 5, something very powerful. It says here, "By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and we keep His commandments. And this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome." Now sometimes you say, "I can't obey God. How can I obey God? What a burden is that?" Well, let me tell you something. You're right. I've tried it. I have tried it in my life, and I can't do it. As much as I want to do good, I can't. There is something in my flesh. There is this law of sin that just keeps wanting to go back down a wrong path, back down to a selfish way, thinking of myself. And love is considering God first with all our heart, soul, and mind, and considering others as ourselves. This is what the whole of the commandments are about. When it says, "You shall have no other gods before me," when it says, "Do not take His name in vain," when it says, "Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy," who are we considering when we do this? We are considering God. We are thinking about His life, His needs, His desires, and we seek to serve Him. And so God gives us His commandments. He says, "Hey, don't make graven images. Don't worship other things ahead of me. Don't have more passion in life for anything but me. Make me your God." And He says, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, because in 6 days I made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh I rested." And He says, "If you believe that I made the heavens and the earth, then you believe I made the Sabbath. Think about me and what I have created and what I have made, and rest on that day and don't work." And so he gives us these commands so that we learn first to think of him. And then he says, honor your father and your mother. And do not murder, and do not lie, and do not steal, and do not commit adultery, and do not covet. Why does he say these things? Because he wants us to think about our neighbor. Because our behavior, if we're thinking about ourselves and what we want, we won't be thinking about our neighbor. Now the problem is that this concern is not naturally found in ourselves. Because we want to survive. Because we want to live. Our flesh struggles for life, but in our flesh is sin, a law of sin in our members that wars against what is good. And that is why the scriptures say the carnal mind is at enmity with God and is not subject to his law, neither indeed can be. That's in Romans 8 and verse 7. So when we read here that his commandments are not burdensome, you have to say, well then, how in the world, God, can I ever obey you when I see the weakness of my flesh and I fall short? And the harder I try, it seems, to obey you, the more I fall short. The more I see my weakness, the more I see my inability to do this. And I know that if you have struggled to be good in life, if you said, you know, I got to stop doing that. I got to change the way I talk to my children. I got to change the way I'm communicating with my spouse. And sometimes the harder we struggle, the more we fail. And how do I know this? Well, because I have been where you are. Don't think that just because I'm on the radio, that I'm all perfect now, that I don't sin, that I don't fall short, that I don't know what sin is, that I don't know all the temptations that you know. The fact of life is that we are all in this flesh together. We're all in the same position. And we find ourselves unable to overcome sin in ourselves, and yet it is sin, which is selfishness, that brings so much pain and so much sorrow and so much hurt into life. And so the question is then, how do we overcome? How do we change? How do we become different people? Now, some say that humans don't change, and generally speaking, I would say, you're right. But there is a way to change. There is a way. And I want to talk about that when we come right back here on the Abundant Living Program.
Is your home filled up with stuff while you yourself are empty? Are you living an unfulfilled life? If so, you need to go to AbundantLiving.org. AbundantLiving.org is a website designed to help you discover your awesome potential. God made you in His image, so that you can grow and experience the abundant life He enjoys. Many people search for meaning in life, but there is only one place to find a life worth living. Go to AbundantLiving.org and find the answers to living a successful and abundant life in Jesus Christ. You will discover who you are and how to have peaceful, joyful life as you learn more about God and the reasons He made you. Great health and wealth mean nothing if you're empty inside. Seek the riches that last forever. Go to AbundantLiving.org. AbundantLiving.org, the website with signposts for success.
To the Abundant Living Program. That was the beautiful voice of Carolyn Sharp and a very good friend of mine. And hey, if you're interested in hearing her sing or me teach, I want you to join us at our church. We just started a brand new fellowship out in Lake Elsinore, California, and we would like you to be a part of it. If you would like to be encouraged, if you would like to be inspired on your walk with Jesus Christ, we want you to join with us and be a part of helping us as well as brethren together, seeking first the kingdom of God and all of His righteousness. You can join us at Rock Valley Christian Church. It's out in Lake Elsinore. And if you're interested in finding out more, you can call me at 1-800-799-5555. 5199 or go to www.abundantliving.org. That's our website here for Abundant Living Ministries. And you'll see an icon right on the front page for Rock Valley Christian Church. You can just click right on that, and it'll take you to our Rock Valley website, which is rockvalleycc.org, and you can find out all kinds of good information there. So go to abundantliving.org, and there's also lots of good audios, lots of good articles to help you live a more abundant life in Jesus Christ. And that's what we want, to live a more abundant life in Jesus Christ. Now, today we've been talking about sin, the power of sin, and our inability to keep the commandments of God by ourselves, by our flesh. You know, this was the problem that God identified with the first covenant. He said, you know, it's not the law that's the problem. It wasn't living obediently. It wasn't living righteously. The problem with the first covenant was the weakness in the flesh. That's what it says in the book of Hebrews. There was a weakness in the flesh, and the weakness brought about bondage. And we still live in the weakness of this flesh. And if we in our flesh try to obey God and do what's right and overcome sin, you know what happens? We don't. I have a good friend who had a father who drank quite a bit. And he came to his senses at one point in his life. And he went and stopped drinking by his flesh, by his discipline. And he stopped drinking and he didn't drink for a long time. And actually years went by and he did not have a drink. And then one day he had one beer, and that set off a chain reaction that brought him right back to who he was. The discipline stopped, and he gave in to who he was, and he went right back to drinking and getting drunk on a daily basis. Now, let me tell you something about sin and overcoming. We can, through our own flesh, through our own discipline, through our own struggle, sometimes we can make ourselves stop sinning. We can make ourselves stop doing it. But it, as in the example of the person who was drinking and getting drunk, was the problem really in the fact that they were filling up a glass with alcohol and taking the glass and putting it in their hand and putting it up to their mouth and drinking? Was that really where the problem was? Well, they just couldn't stop putting alcohol in the glass. They just couldn't stop drinking it. Because I'll tell you what, I can tell you that's an easy thing to stop. That's the easy part. The hard part is changing the mind inside, changing our heart inside. Because we can discipline ourselves into stopping to do something that we don't want to do, our bad behavior, our sin, for a while. Sometimes even for very prolonged periods of time. But it doesn't change what's inside of us. And the root of sin is not in the physical action. That's simply the manifestation of something that's going wrong inside. And so here's the question again. How do we overcome it? How do we stop sinning? And the answer is right here in 1 John 5, verse 4. For whatever or whoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world. Now here it is. How do we do it? Our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? That is our victory. Our victory is in him. And the same power that freed us from sin and forgave us is the same power that saves us on a daily basis in our lives. Jesus Christ is here to save us. And as Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Let me tell you, when we look to him, we will have the power to overcome. It's not by our own mind or by our own flesh. Because here's what happens. When we try to struggle in our flesh, we find out we can't overcome sin. And faith is not looking at ourselves and saying, I have to do this. I have to stop doing this. I have to get up in the morning at a certain time. I have to do this. And trying to develop a passion from within. Because the best we can have oftentimes is that sinful passion. The passions we need to have is the passion for Christ. And as we look at him and as we put our eyes upon him, something happens within us. Something changes within us. And it's not about just knowing what to do. It is having the power to do it. Having the power to go beyond who we are today into who God would have us become. Because he made you. And he made me. And he made us special to be children in his image, to have fellowship with him. And so notice in 2 Corinthians 3 and in verse 14 it says, but their minds, speaking here of the Israelites, were blinded. For unto the day the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament, because the veil is taken away in Christ. But even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil lies on their hearts. In other words, they could read what the law said, they could read what the truth said, but it wasn't leading them into life. And Jesus said this to the Pharisees back in John chapter 5, verses 38 to 40. He said, hey, you search the scriptures because in them you think you have life, but they're not leading you to me, the one who will give you life. True, abundant life, true power to overcome is found in Jesus Christ, is found in looking to Him. If we try to look to ourselves to overcome, we're going to fall short and we're going to realize our inability. We must set our eyes on Him. And here's what it says again in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 16. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. The blinders are off. The truth is seen. Our understanding is enlightened. In verse 17, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. Notice this, as we behold Him, as we look to Him, as we put our faith and our trust in Him who already overcame the world, this is what happens. We are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. This is the way, not by our own power or by our own might, but by His Spirit. And the thing is that in life, we are going to face challenges. We are going to face hardships. We are going to sin and mess up, and we're going to get in habits of sin. And maybe you're in a habit of sin now. We're going to talk about this more next week, but in a habit of sin. And the thing is, there is power for you to overcome sin in life. And I want you to know that God is on your side. God doesn't want to see you go down in flames. God doesn't want to see you live in misery and oppression. God doesn't want to see you be living in heartache and imprisoned by sin. He wants to see you transformed into the image of His Son. And the way we change, the way we are converted into the new man whom God would have us to be, is by putting our faith and hope in Jesus Christ. Now, this is why we need encouragement. This is why we need inspiration. This is why we need teaching in our lives. The promise of God is to remove the blinders from us, to remove us and shine the light so that we can clearly see His ways and walk in it. But we don't do this by focusing on ourselves. We do this by focusing on Him. Our eyes must be attached to Him. As it says in Colossians, set your mind on things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father. We have to set our mind on things that are above and look to a bigger place, a bigger world where God is. Because all that we see here on this earth, it's all going to pass away. All these things of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh and the pride of life, all these things that desire us to look at them and to be enthralled by them, they're all going to pass away. They're all going to be gone. But he who does the word of God abides forever. And so we must be overcoming sin. And as it says in Revelation 21, to him who overcomes, he will inherit all things. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Now this is the life that you have. This is the life you're being called to give up what this world has, to give up sin, and to have a brighter way of living, a positive way of living, a joyful way of living where peace and contentment reign. And sure, it's not always this way. Sure, not all life is you could say, an old saying, hunky-dory, everything's not picture perfect. But God wants us to live a better way. Now, I invite you to join me each week here on the Abundant Living Program, Sundays at 2 here on KBRT, but also at Rock Valley Christian Church in Lake Elsinore, California, where we're meeting to get back to the basics of classical Christianity, to get back to the basics of how Jesus and His disciples lived life, and how they treated each other, and how they worshiped God, and how they cared for one another, with commitment first to God and second to each other in doing the Word of God, reading it, believing it, and practicing it. This is where life is really found, true living, true liberty. so that no sin will ever hold us in oppression again, so that no bondage of weakness or habits, but we set our eyes on God that we may be freed forever. So I invite you to join us at abundantliving.org. You can find out more there about the church, and also call me at 800-799-5199. That is the number, 800-799-5199, to find out more about our fellowship, and I hope to talk to you next week.
Is your home filled up with stuff while you yourself are empty? Are you living an unfulfilled life? If so, you need to go to abundantliving.org. Abundantliving.org is a website designed to help you discover your awesome potential. God made you in His image so that you can grow and experience the abundant life He enjoys. Many people search for meaning in life, but there is only one place to find a life worth living. Go to abundantliving.org and find the answers to living a successful and abundant life in Jesus Christ. You will discover who you are and how to have peaceful, joyful life as you learn more about God and the reasons He made you. Great health and wealth mean nothing if you're empty inside. Seek the riches that last forever. Go to abundantliving.org. Abundantliving.org, the website with signposts for success.